John chapter 19, verses 25 through 27. Let us hear God's word. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there, and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her in to his home. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we come now and we gather together to hear your word, to feed on your word. Oh, Father God, send your Spirit. Open up our hearts and our minds that we may see Jesus. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Having the flu is awful, isn't it? Nobody likes having the flu. When you have the flu, your whole body hurts. You sneeze, you cough, you ache all over, your joints are hurting. And really, the only thing that you want to do, you want to go to bed and be left alone. The last thing you want to do is to go to work or go to school or handle any kind of family business like cooking or cleaning or mowing the yard. When we are sick, when we are in pain, our thoughts turn inward. We think about ourselves. Contrast that with the way Jesus handled pain. The Lord Jesus was dying as the Savior of sinners. The situation that he was in was worse than any mere flu bug could inflict upon his body. He was engaged in the most awful undertaking that this earth had ever witnessed. He was at the point of offering himself to satisfy the outrage and the justice of God. He was engaged in the very work that he was engaged in the very work of why there was a creation itself, why there was humanity. He is in the midst of pain. He's in the midst of humiliation. A pain and humiliation that none of us could ever imagine. And while it would be logical that in the midst of such pain and suffering, you would be focused upon yourself, yet we see Jesus being focused upon others. He thought about his mother. He did not want to leave her in a position where she would be hurt. The scriptures say, when Jesus saw his mother there, and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." This is a lesson that we all need to take to heart. No duty, no work, however important it may be, can excuse us from respecting and taking care of our parents, and especially on this day, our mother. The Lord Jesus had given proof of his perfection in holiness, and he now continues to show us his perfection and holiness by obeying the law of God even as he suffers. As a child, Jesus was found in the temple in Jerusalem, and he was speaking to the religious leaders. And when his mother, Mary, finally found him, she says, "Where have you been?" And Jesus replied, "Why were you searching for me? Didn't you know that I had to be in my Father's house?" Then the Holy Spirit adds this: then Jesus went down to Nazareth with his parents and was obedient to them. Why did the Holy Spirit plug that particular passage in? Well, what the scriptures are doing here, they're connecting the work of Christ, his love of God the Father, his desire to obey God's law, with every phase of human life. The Scriptures present to us Christ as an infant, Christ as a youth, a child, Christ as a teenager, and then Christ as an adult male, to show us that in every stage of human life, infant, child, young person, adult, every phase of growth and maturity, Jesus sanctifies that. He obeys God's word in every phase of life. If he had not, we would have no salvation. He sanctifies every avenue of human development. The finger that wrote in the stone that was given to Moses, the finger that wrote, "Honor thy father and mother," he is in fact doing that still as he is hanging on the cross, as he is in agony. On the cross, we see his tender care for his mother. And in caring for his mother, we also see his love for God's law. When the law was given, we read in Exodus 20, "Honor your father and mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God has given you." The words of Christ here in Exodus chapter 20 are reiterated in the New Testament in Ephesians chapter 6. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother," which is the first commandment, "with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth." In the time of his most painful anguish, not only was Jesus showing love to his mother, but he was showing love to God the Father by keeping the commandments. Jesus ensures that his mother is taken care of, but he's also ensuring that salvation will come to God's people because Christ, even on the cross, is keeping the commandments. Though his brow was being kissed by the crown of thorns on his head, he remembers her who was the first one to kiss his forehead. Though his hands and feet are nailed to the tree, he remembers the one who held his hands as he learned to walk, as he is washing the sins of the world away with his blood. He remembers her who washed the dirt from his body when he was a child. And though she grieves to see him suffer, he suffers in order to turn her grief to joy. Thus, Christ's tender care of his mother, even in the time of his greatest distress and agony, is an example for all of us to follow. No matter where we are in our life, we are called upon to keep God's commandments, and especially to honor our parents. Now, the Scriptures give us example after example of how the saints of old honored their parents and thus were honoring God. In 1 Samuel chapter 22, when David was being pursued by King Saul, the Scriptures say that David took his mother and sent his mother to the king of Moab, that she would be kept safe. In Genesis chapter 48, we see that Joseph provided provision for his father and for the rest of his family. We see from Solomon, Solomon was the most glorious and magnificent of all the kings of Israel. Yet, when his mother entered into the courtyard, though it was forbidden for anyone to approach the king unless the king had summoned them, if you came in to the presence of the king without being summoned, you were to be killed. But when Bathsheba came into the king's court, even though she had been summoned, Solomon got up, bowed down to her, called for a special chair to be put next to him, that she may sit next to the king. Ruth adopts Naomi as her mother, and then Ruth dedicates her life to taking care of Naomi. Again, we find example after example of the saints taking care of their family, their fathers, and especially their mothers. Paul, when he writes to the Colossians, says, "Children, honor your parents in everything, for this is pleasing to the Lord. As it is joyful for mothers to be honored by the children, so it is joyful to God for children to honor their mothers. In honoring mothers, you please God, just as if you were repenting and seeking to believe the gospel." It's not by coincidence that the scriptures connect the fear of the Lord with honoring of parents. In Proverbs chapter 1, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." And then it goes on to say, "Therefore, listen to and do not forsake your mother's teachings." The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And that wisdom then is going to be communicated to you first through mom and dad. But there is also a warning. A warning for those who despise their parents. Those who despise the authority that God has placed in their parents. Deuteronomy says, "Cursed is the man who dishonors his father and mother." Among the list in 2 Timothy of those who will be in hell, we find this description. They are abusive and disobedient to their parents. The same thing is mentioned in Romans chapter 1. As Paul is writing about the depravity of sin, he says that they have been given over to sensuality. They've been given over in their sins because they disobeyed their parents. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, we are told that Eli's sons, because they did not honor their father and did not listen to their father's rebuke, were told by God, "Those who honor me will I honor, but those who despise me will be despised. The time is coming when I will cut short the strength of your father's house, so that there will not be an old man in your family line, and you will see distress in my dwelling." So God killed the sons of Eli because they rejected the wisdom of their father Eli. By not honoring their father, they did not honor God. The scriptures make it very clear that nothing shortens life more than disobedience to parents. Absalom was disobedient. He tried to kill his father David. Instead, the tables were turned and he was killed. The sons of Noah, Shem and Japheth, they were honored by God because they honored their father. Shem becomes the line from which the Christ will be born. Japheth, he becomes the line from which the Gentiles are going to be blessed, that they will hear the gospel. We are the line of Japheth. We are the Gentiles. And God honored Japheth because he honored his father Noah. We are the direct results of this man thousands of years ago honoring his father. But then there was Ham. Ham disrespected his father. And because he dishonored his father, he was cursed by God. Ham becomes the father of the Canaanites, those enemies of Israel. And Ham is the spiritual father of all of God's enemies, those whom the scriptures say will never inherit eternal life. Nothing shortens life more quickly than dishonoring of parents, and especially dishonoring mother. Can you imagine on the day of judgment, on the day of judgment, as you stand there before Jesus Christ to give an accounting of your life, Jesus calls your mother over. And though she loved you greatly while she was here on earth, she testifies against you and says, "Lord, I gave this child many hundred reproofs for sin. I've counseled and used all the means available to me to reclaim his soul, but all in vain. He is a child of rebellion." Can you imagine your mother testifying against you on the day of judgment? My friend, if you do not honor your father and mother, that is exactly what will happen to you. You cannot honor your heavenly father if you will not honor your earthly mother. The end or the goal of parents is to discipline their children to save them from hell. Parents understand that it is better for children to fall into the hands of an angry father or mother than it is for that child to fall into the hands of an angry God. The discipline that mother gives, the discipline that father gives, is given for the very fact of keeping that child safe, of keeping that child from falling into hell, of keeping that child and pointing that child to the kingdom of Christ. The writer to the Hebrews says, "My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone whom he accepts as a son." I remember as a child getting in trouble. I know that y'all probably don't ever think I got in trouble. But I remember this one particular day, I got in trouble. And my mama sent me outside to get a switch. And the last thing she said to me was, "You better get the right switch. Don't be getting one of these small things. You get the right switch, because if you come back with a small one, it's going to be worse for you." Now, you know, as a child, you don't quite understand that. But as an adult, you understand it fully. She punished me for my disobedience. And because she disciplined me, because she loved me, she disciplined me. And because she disciplined me, my eternal home is in heaven, not in hell. When you honor your parents, when you take care of their needs, you're not providing charity to them. You're just simply exercising justice. You are simply paying them back for the years that they took care of your needs. So Christ's example of providing for his mother in his time of greatest need should impress upon us how pleasing it is to God for us to take care of our parents. Honor your father and mother. And this is the commandment with a promise, that it may go well for you and give you long life here on this earth. Let's pray.